Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Oh, welcome into Wildcast Studios for another Christmas episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solutions. They go from Black Friday sales to Boxing Day sales from December 7th to January 3rd. You save $150 when you purchase two qualifying kitchen appliances, $300 when you purchase three or more kitchen appliances, and the same thing, Boxing Day laundry savings event, $100 when you purchase two Whirlpool or Maytag laundry appliances. They must be one washer, one dryer. I am your host, Adam Lund, and I am pleased to be joined by your favorite co-hoster, writer for Rocket Sports, teaching his daughter to play baseball, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. How's the baseball training going?
There is no baseball training. There is a lot of money being thrown around.
Oh, my goodness. Merry Christmas to baseball. The Otanis.
Yeah. There was quite the conspiracy that went on over the weekend. And, I haven't looked into getting a late start in my baseball career. You know, that was over when I was 17 years old, and the little one is, I don't think she's ever thrown a ball, so yeah. I don't think she's going to be anywhere near a 700 millionaire in her life.
Just,
but I will say,
unbelievable.
If she ever becomes rich,
yep,
it'll be from poetry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
She's a poet?
She wrote this poem.
All right.
She gave it to me, and it's pretty cute because it's heart, but it's kind of made of
hockey sticks. I like that.
Hockey sticks. Yeah. And she's like, "Daddy, I want to read this in front of the Wildcats." And I was like, "Not sure if that'll be allowed." Anyways, I apologize in advance to my daughter if I can't read your writing. Up upon the house top, flick, 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 down through the ice with a good hat trick.
Ooh.
Mm. Making its, oh my God, making lists and checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty on the ice.
That's very good. Well done, Avery.
So, she wrote that for me over, on Sunday night. So I was, of course, in bed at 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
And as we all are.
And she was awake writing poems.
That's actually an excellent poem. That makes me feel all toasty inside. Obviously we don't just chat when you come over to the studio, and you know, do you need a moment of silence for Blue Jays fans? Or I feel for him, man, because it was first Kawhi and then obviously Otani, and I think Kawhi probably hurt more for Blue Jays fans, but I saw, I think it's Breakfast TV now, Sid Sixero, and he had one of the smarter takes online.
No, yeah, he did. He nailed it.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. I don't blame Blue Jays fans for jumping on the hysteria. I don't blame the city for shutting down from 12 to 5 o'clock, following the airport, following the flights, all that. But as a Blue Jays general manager, owner, something, all you had to do was get ahead of it and say, this is what he said, is get ahead of it and say, Otani's not on his way here. We put our best foot forward. We've made an offer. We're just waiting. Mm. That gets rid of all the problems that the social media had, where obviously Morosi was getting bad intel.
Bad.
Huh?
Terrible.
Intel. Terrible. What is funny is our friends from the past cast, they were talking about it, and I'm like, imagine it's just some dude randomly flying to from Anaheim to Toronto, and he's like, I wish I was some random dude with a private plane. Well,
it wasn't just a random guy.
No, it was a pretty popular guy.
Yeah, Robert Herjavec from Dragon's Den and in Shark Tank, and you know, there was. You were the one that sent me the conspiracy tweets, and I was like, wow, that's everything kind of lines up now, but
yeah.
I'm over it. And I guess if you want to add the To the more conspiracy theories, Cody Bellinger, his wife shared a picture this morning on Instagram of the CN Tower.
Oh. Mm.
Which was quickly deleted.
Okay. I saw somebody tweet that she had taken down the picture of the CN, and I'm like, well, Cody Bellinger doesn't play for, like, why would she do that? But
he's a free agent.
Yeah, he could be, I guess, a cap casualty from, not that there's a cap in baseball, but $700 million, kids. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have a boy that's going to play professional sports in the major leagues of the professional sports, and I'm not saying women can't, but this is based off Ohtani's contract. It used to be a quarterback, mm-hmm. and then it was be a left tackle, and then it was be a right-hand shot defenseman. Now it's be a pitcher DH that revolutionizes baseball.
Yep.
So, we're not obviously here to talk about baseball. We're going to talk some hockey here, but you caught up on MasterChef? Hell's Kitchen?
Yes, I am.
Hell's Kitchen?
Yep. Now I'm trying to think who it was. Was it?
It was Danya.
Danya. That's the one. Danya.
Couldn't get the beef. Every time I watch that, man, I want a beef Wellington so bad.
And we've done that search.
But I want it from the Gordon Ramsay style. Like, I don't want to just go anywhere. I want the...
The only one in the Maritimes that sells it is the Barrington Steakhouse in Halifax.
Yeah.
$160.
Yeah, no, I'm good. It's...
That's crazy.
I just really want one. Like, it looks really good.
Yeah, it does. And I don't have the energy and the passion to cook one myself because I would screw it up immensely.
No, and I've tried to watch him cook it, and I'm like, I could... not do that, but maybe my wife could do that. Mm-hmm. So who knows, maybe she could. We'll have to ask her. But yeah, it's coming down to it. Donnie, like, she just never looked comfortable in the kitchen. And Ryan was the Irish guy that you were looking for. I see you've got some beer there, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some beer.
Yep.
You got a new hat for those not watching on the YouTube.
Frig off.
No Starbucks peppermint mochas. We get 10 days from 10 days from Christmas. We are recording this on Monday. By the time 2 weeks around, it will be Christmas.
Yep. Crazy. I'll have a peppermint mocha because we've got a pretty long episode coming up here.
We do. Yeah, we'll get to that at the end of the show. Giving you an update.
That'll be a peppermint mocha. that'll be a peppermint mocha day for sure.
100%. All right, don't forget, as always, you can follow us on the social medias, Twitter, Moncton Wildcast, Instagram, Wildcast Podcast, TikTok, Wildcast Podcast, and of course, like and subscribe here on the YouTube. Don't forget to click that little bell so you don't miss any of the episodes coming up. We got a few special ones. We'll get to that at the end of the show. Quick question for you, sir. I gave you a bit of a hint, but yes. Here it is. Etienne Morin has not scored a goal since November 4th. I think he's got about 9 points since then. I'm not going to say panic, but is there a worry level on him? And I ask this just because, like, his first year into last year, he was just kind of on that plateau. And it just, I don't think it's the level he knows he can play. It doesn't look like the Morin we've seen. Do you have any worry on what we've seen from him, especially in the goal scoring and points category?
No, I don't think the teams are starting to recognize his shot. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a much better job of getting in the way of it, but at the same time, he's still generating offense,
right?
Which is, I mean, doesn't matter if you score the goal or you pick up one of the assists. You know, mm-hmm. if you're on the ice, he's likely touching the puck, right? Yep. He's the quarterback, and it's going to go through him. You know, if there was third assists, he'd probably have, you know, 50 points in the season already, right? It just seems to be, you know, it's Desnoyer to Loesching or Loesching to Desnoyer, or, you know, it's just, he's not, the defensemen aren't getting in on the points as much as they did last year, but, you know, I don't think the points are really much of a concern.
No, and the only reason I bring it up, and I'm not picking on Morin, I'm not highlighting him to pick on him at all. But I actually had someone reach out and say, like, when was the last time he scored? I was like, I don't know, like 3-4 games ago. Mm-hmm. Because it just felt like that's the pace he was scoring last year. It was like every 3-4 games he'd have a goal, 2 goals. And I kind of looked. I was like, oh, man, he hasn't scored since the Gatineau game in Gatineau. He's still putting up assists. He's got He's got, so what does he got, 11 assists, 10 assists in that span. So it's still there, but I think you're right. I mean, he's almost looking like he's trying to concentrate a little bit more on the defensive end. Teams are starting to figure out his play at the point. And a lot of his points last year, he did get on the power play as a quarterback to Losing, who was ripping it, which teams have kind of started to figure out. But now they have a second power play that actually puts pucks in the net.
Yep.
And so they don't have to put out the first power play for a minute 30 and then give 30 seconds to the other guy. They actually have the ability to put out these guys for a minute, keep them fresh, put out the next unit, or if Losing or Moran, the Denoyer line, kind of had, you know, a shift before, they're able to go with Mueller and Grenier and that second power play unit to give them a little bit of a breather, give them a minute and then come back out. But yeah, I don't have the same, like, I don't have panic level because, like you said, he is putting up the points, but it's just, I think we got so used to, and I picked him as the MVP and the leading scorer on the team because I figured that was going to be the next step. And maybe he's just, maybe the Flames wanted to work on more of the defensive effort and moving the, being a puck mover.
I can see that. Because it's like, it's the same thing happened with Jeremy Poirier out of St. John. You know, he was, sorry, it's in my throat tonight. He was always an offensive defenseman with the Sea Dogs, and then he got picked up by the Flames, and all of a sudden, you know, he's not only still contributing offensively, he's doing extremely well defensively as well. So you have to think, is that if that was probably the message that the Flames gave Morin after their training camp. And it does, you're right, he does seem to be focusing a little more on the defensive side. It's been an adjustment, you know, let's put it that way. There's a few times where, you know, he could have easily been a little more harder on the puck or harder against his, you know, harder on the D side. But, you know, if at the end of the day, if he comes out a better hockey player, that's all we can ask for.
Yeah, we're not looking for records every year. The CHL develops players into NHL players or CIA player or CIA CIS players. So, and I wonder if it's a little bit like Forte Gendron this year. He was coming in and rated to be a top prospect, was potentially going to be in the tournament or in the prospects game. Just hasn't quite got it. Maybe there was some pressure on, you know, he got drafted, went to the Flames camp, a lot of things on the World Junior radar. He's maybe trying to do too much and just, instead of just playing. And I think not being invited to camp, being able to go home for a couple weeks, just kind of recharge, reset, I think he'll have an excellent second half. And I don't think, not that we're worrying at all, but I think we're going to look back on this question and maybe in February and be like, what were we doing?
Yeah. No, and I can see him having a big second half. He's got a record to chase, you know, with most points. By a defenseman in franchise history. So, you know,
we know how far he is behind on that.
Bear with me a minute. I can get that for information for
you. All right. Well, do you want me to go to the news?
Yes.
Find that? Yeah, all right. Of course. Let's go to some. There's a little bit of news to talk about here.
News and notes from around the queue.
All right, so we now have the Memorial Cup location. As Dave McKnight, friend of the show, on Twitter put it, congratulations to Rimouski for being in the province of Quebec. They have been named the 2025 host. My favorite part of it was the headline, for the first line, will mark the return of the CHL's championship to Quebec for the first time in 10 years. Bet they didn't say that when it came back to the Maritimes for the first time in 8 or 9 years. It is what it is. It sucks for Moncton. We talked about it early on. I think Rimouski's a little bit more set up than Shawinigan was team-wise. But I do like the fact that it was announced 10 days before the trade deadline so that Rimouski knows what they want to come get. Shawinigan knows that they're not going for the Memorial Cup, so they can kind of offload and either or decide if they want to continue to go for it next year. But I mean, it was kind of all over Twitter, back and forth between a few of the Moncton fans and some of the Quebec guys. And look, my thing was always, it had to be in Quebec. It had to be a Quebec city. The OHL doesn't have that with the United States teams. The WHL doesn't have that. I mean, Spokane was the last United States team to host a Memorial Cup, and you don't see, and maybe because we're not in the market, but you don't see Alberta teams not being able to apply for the Memorial Cup because, well, we got to go back to the United States. Hasn't been there since 98. It's been to BC. It's been to Manitoba. Has been to Alberta, and I believe it's been to Saskatchewan. All in that time, because you bid with the best cities, and like you asked Georgie, is it like it's cyclical? Teams build towards having a Memorial Cup year or hosting the Memorial Cup. Unfortunately, now we just got to kick in the front door and win this thing as champions.
Well, and I think that's going to be the motivation. You know, there's when I spoke with Richie, he said he wants to be an older team, wants to be a more experienced team.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, I think there's, that's what they're going to be focusing on. And I think there's, I know he's the one at the controls here, but you know, at the way at the top.
Yeah.
Mr. Irving wants to be like,
yeah, he really wants to kick that
coming,
door down.
We're
yeah.
coming for it. You know, yeah. this is, we're going to show you why we, you know, why we should, this should have been our tournament. And, you know, there's Richie's got control of the hockey ops, you know, but, you know, Mr. Irving's going to be like, let's do what we can to put together a very good team. Getting back to, the Marais thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, he is currently fifth in franchise history in defensive scoring. He would need... Crap. Stupid Rogers pop-ups. Go away. Friggin' Big Red. James Sanford has 181 points.
All right.
Morad currently has 125. So, 56 to tie, which is going to be tough. You know, yeah, that's more than a point per game, probably.
Yeah.
So that's, but I mean, if he doesn't get it this year, he will easily get it next year. But I mean, we can safely say
that's regular season points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All time player. It says just like all time. Yeah. Regular season. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So in 100, he has 125 points in 155 games. He's 1 point away from tying David Savard. He's 20 points away from Brandon Gormley, and 33 away from Mark Barberio. So I think there's a chance that he is second all time after this season is over.
Right.
And then he can go into next season chasing down James Sanford.
Okay, so I'm just trying to look at something. Because he finished with 72 points last year. So what did he have? Moran had... All right, well, he had 34 points in 31 games last year. He's at 20, so he's going to need a heck of a second half. He finished with 72 points last year, so not out of the realm. He comes close to it.
Yeah. And,
you know, it, like I said, he's going to be able to go home, recharge... So we'll keep track of that as the shows continue into the end of the new year. But yeah, like you said, I think Mr. Irving found this out, obviously, in which team it is, and he went hate, double hate, loathe entirely. And I think just like 2020, the way he was sparing no expense to bring in the best, I think this could be the same thing as that year.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder how much of it we go get now, because the prices will go up into the summer and into next year's trade deadline with the Memorial Cup being in the QMJHL.
Yeah, it's always...
just like it was in 2019, yeah, 2020.
Yeah, it is always much more expensive when you're hosting. But you know what? I mean, if I were to say over-under... 5.5 trades that the Wildcats make by the January 6th deadline. What would you say, over or under?
For this year?
Yeah, 5.5. That's not necessarily just players involved. That could be just a, oh, well, so-and-so team needs a third-round pick. So you give, you know, we'll give you a fifth for now, but you have to go and give us a third down the road. Like, it can be a draft pick swap as well, if you want to put it.
I think I'd take the under. I just, for some reason, this just does not seem like a big year for them. I think they're just going to stay the course and grab some depth, two depth players. I think they'll make two player trades. So I think they'll make, I'll take four. I'll take the under.
Mm-hmm. No, it's, if for me, I read on the board, people are saying it's going to be a quiet, not a busy, quiet trade period for the Wildcats.
I think in general, like, have you heard many rumors?
No, it seems relatively quiet.
Either teams are getting really good at locking this down, or there's just not a lot of movement.
And I've, rumor-wise. I mean, I've spoken with Richie, I've spoken with Sylvain Couturier, I've spoken with Anthony Stella, and they've
Who's
all
next?
Said...
For those wondering, Jim Holton?
If the Charlottetown Islanders Director of Communications would reply to my email... if the director of communications for the Bathurst Titan would reply to my email.
Hey, Lucas Holton, if you're listening, help him out.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny
we'll
Rocket,
see.
If you're
we'll
listening.
See. I'm in touch with the assistant director of hockey operations for Bathurst.
Right.
And so we'll see where it goes. But they've all been saying the same thing. The phones are busy. Mm-hmm. But the prices are very, very high.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they're just waiting for one domino to fall to see if, what's worth, who's worth what.
It'll be interesting to see what that domino is because they all, I think the biggest domino that everyone's kind of waiting for is at the World Junior Camp.
Yeah, and it's true. And the one who's not going to be at World Junior Camp is Sam Savoie. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's if you.
So is that half a domino, and the other domino is Luno?
Yeah.
You know, right? Like,
yeah, no, there's
the
a Samuel few names.
Get dealt, and then a few dominoes fall, and then it kind of settles down, and then a lull on that bomb about Luno, and then bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, and there's goalies that could move as well, right? Like, is Bay Como satisfied with their backup?
Halifax is probably not. Nothing
is
against
Halifax
Milner,
satisfied
but...
with their backup? Is Drummondville satisfied with their backup? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, like that's three teams right there, three contenders that probably need to go and upgrade their goaltending. And there just happens to be three goaltenders out there on rebuilding-ish teams.
Yeah.
You know, we're Canton Miller in Quebec. Saint-Hilaire in Sherbrooke, and I'm missing one. Josh Fleming in Bathurst.
Yeah.
You know, like Josh Fleming, I think, would be a perfect backup to Russo in Halifax.
Yeah, this is, if you hear Cam Russell in Halifax and fans in there, yeah, it's awesome to have four players at the camp. A, because you got four players all from that same draft that are representing Halifax, but B, you get to see what this team needs.
Yep.
And for them to be what was called a one-line team, and now they've just got Katavor, because I don't think Levesque is back.
No.
Though they lost to St. John, which St. John, you know, they beat us. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night, but you get three games against the same team, and if you go 1-2 against St. John, like, for them, this is probably the best time for those guys to be at camp a little bit early, is they actually get to look at what they need in terms of some depth.
Yeah, no, for sure, and it's... And Halifax just happens to end the first half against St. John.
Yeah.
You know, they got
in a row.
I think it's a home and home.
A lot of schedule, yeah.
So it's, I mean, like I said, Josh Fleming, I think, would be a perfect backup to Russo and Halifax. Yeah. I think you could probably see.
I think there's another, I would say another player from the Maritime Division moving to Halifax. You've mentioned his name a couple times.
Yeah. Reynolds?
20-year-old.
Reynolds?
No, the other one. The island.
Oh, Horth, yeah.
Horth.
Halifax needs to make a move, and, you know, I think they're probably two forwards and one backup away from being, you know, in that conversation, no longer being considered a one-line team.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see. There's
and then it's what are we gonna do? Yeah. And we're not trying to make every episode in Christmas about trade deadline, but it is everybody's favorite part to talk about. Mm-hmm. But Baie-Comeau 56, and then you've got a clump of four teams. Yeah. I think Halifax 45, Moncton 43, Drummondville 42, Rouyn-Noranda 40, and Victoriaville's just on the outside at 37. So mm-hmm. And now Rimouski's gonna start trying to acquire to build for their Memorial Cup.
Yeah, and I think Rimouski, I mean, I think they got Filion, and I can't remember their backup.
Massé.
Do I think Filion is going to be their goalie next year to host a Memorial Cup? Nope. I think they're going to end up with either Miller from Quebec or Saint-Hilaire from Sherbrooke. And that's going to be their goalie next year.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And whoever goes to Rimouski, I think the other one goes to Baie-Comeau and backs up Ciarlo. Yeah. So and then there's still Drummondville.
Yeah.
You know, there's still Drummondville. They're like, Drummondville's need to go to this Cape Breton trade Ruccia to Drummondville.
I think the only team of the four original contenders and five that are in is Victoriaville. They're set in net. Rouyn-Noranda set in net, and I think Moncton is set in net.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the six contenders. If you want to throw Moncton in there based on points, I think those are the only three teams that are set in goal.
Yep.
That can put their assets elsewhere. Speaking of the World Juniors, Moncton's got another two and a former. We'll say two and a half. attending the World Junior camps as Miles Mueller is off to represent the Swiss Hop Swiss. And former Wildcat Jonas Tybell as well. And then Julius Sumpf is off to represent Germany, which is good for him.
You know, Switzerland, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know much about their country, but I can tell you their flag is a big plus.
Ding, ding. I was like, what joke is he going with here? The players of the week. What do we got here? Oh, no, that's not the one I want. Anthon Véro was the player of the week, the QMJHL team of the week that I'm getting to with my quarterback. There we go. No, quarterback. My computer would go a little bit faster. Just take your time. Don't even worry about it. I know that Anthon Véro is on there.
Put that cookie down now.
There we go. Anthon Véro, 2 goals, 6 assists in 3 games. Marcus Vitacek, 4 goals, 2 assists in 2 games. Israel Mincecum for Sherbrooke, 2 goals, 7 assists in 3 games. Komarov making friends in Drummondville there. 2 goals, 3 assists in 3 games. Mikhail Diat of Drummondville, 2 goals, 2 assists in 3 games. And Jakub Milata, Cape Breton, 2-0, 1,000 save percentage, 2 shutouts on the week. So like you just mentioned, does that make Rucci expendable? And that's a team that's got to make some moves, so I don't really know if you can make a move.
I mean, with all due respect to Cape Breton,
right?
They, and I'm pretty sure, they are still the worst offensive team in the entire Canadian Hockey League.
Oh, in the Canadian
And they want to buy.
Yeah. 77 goals for in the queue.
The
next closest is Quebec at 80. That just got shut out in back-to-back games against Rimouski and Moncton. Oh, and Val-d'Or at 80.
How do you have less goals than Quebec and Val-d'Or when you have Cole Burbridge, Cam McDonald,
Cam Squires, Lavoie,
Will Shields,
Schultz on the back end.
Unbelievable. Like, and they want to buy.
Yeah.
Holy
they clearly need to buy because they need somebody to put the puck in the net.
I think they need to start from scratch over there. And
again,
I mean, they've got to. It's so bad. Like, they're going to. If any team makes, overpays or gets super aggressive at the trade period, it's going to be Cape Breton.
Yeah.
You know what? And it's going to be sad because. Anytime you're aggressive and overpay, it never works out.
No.
And then we're just going to have things to say about Andrew Barrington for the next, 3 years.
Yeah. We'll be like, cheer up, dude. It's Christmas. Is that all our news? That's the player of the week. That's the team of the week. All right, let's get to the weekly rewind.
Weekly rewind.
Wildcats go 2-0-1 on the week, bringing the record to 27-2 for 43 points on the season. Good enough for third in the conference, third in the league, and second in the Maritimes, now only 2 points behind Halifax. So a chance to catch them before the Christmas break. As like we said, they've got two against St. John. We've got Bathurst, Cape Breton. But again, these games are always the toughest because, well, you're ready to go home. We'll get to those in a minute. But Thursday, another Thursday effort, another Thursday win. So we now are 2-4 with losses to Victor, Drummondville, Wren, and St. John. Wins over the Islanders and Sherbrooke. 34-19 we've been outscored, so we're bringing that gap a little bit closer. The game against Sherbrooke was buoyed by the power play going 3-4. Time for drinking. It was a good week. It was a good week, man. Got out to a 2-0 lead. Sherbrooke wasn't going to go away. But then the Wildcats just kind of took over. But the 3-4 on the power play is kind of what stood out to me in this one. They took control of it. And we talked about it with Moran a little bit. Doesn't have to count on that first power play. The second one, Mueller had a rocket of a game-winning goal on the power play. But I think it was good to see them jump out and get that first W in a 3-3.
Yeah, you're right. That first period was pretty, for me, it was really frustrating. You jumped all over them, and then you just let them come back in the game. You know, they could have easily put this game away super, super, super early. But it was just, it was the first goal and the second goal I wasn't very happy with. And anyways, here I am always complaining about a win. The effort was there.
Honest. That's,
yeah,
that's
the effort was there. I also, I wasn't impressed with how they played.
They got away with one because the power play buoyed the game. Mm-hmm. Like the power play going 3-4 in this one, and I believe it is a league leading power play.
Yeah, two shots in the second period. Against a team like Sherbrooke, and again, I never want to talk down about a team, but this is a team that you should be able to put at least double digits and up against in shots on goal every period. Yeah. And two in the second period, and it was just a letdown.
Yeah, we've seen that where the kind of opponents that on paper are a little bit below us in the standings, we've seen them kind of come out strong and then take their foot off the gas. And yeah, they're number one in the, remember that time I was worried about the power play? Whoops. Number one overall in the league at 29%. And this was a perfect example going 3-4. And I think they've kind of found that second gear, with the second unit and best power play on the road too. 34%. Home, they got 22, so about 8th. So then they went into Quebec, and we got to see some teddy bears.
The mascot party?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know. I'm not sure if Moncton's actually going to have a teddy bear toss game, but guess what? We got the teddy bears on the ice. We got it flying. A first QMJ shutout for Keegan Warren, 4-0. Just
say it.
Yeah.
Say it.
What are you doing, Moncton? Guy gets his first QMJHL shutout, and there's not a single picture of him with a puck. And they've had it for goals and for all the good stuff that the Wildcats have done on the social media, and they're getting so much better at advertising and this and that. And I know the social media person probably doesn't travel with the team, but somebody's got to take a picture and share it. This is your 14th round pick who's started 6-1 on the year. And not much recognition other than the graphic that said they won and he got his first shutout. So, but what a bounce back game from Keegan in general. I kind of joked, he wore his new pads the first game against St. John. didn't even get puck marks on him, so they looked even more brand new against against Quebec, and he was steady back there, and they jumped all over Quebec. Quebec's going to have a problem scoring in the second half, I do believe. But yeah, Keegan Warren, 27-27, gets his first Q shutout. I was a little saddened that we didn't see anything from the Wildcats on the social media, but that's not, I'm not here to crap on them. They've done really good things this year, but
you can count on us though.
Yeah. 118 likes on that picture. If you want to click, just go take a picture of Keegan Warren, put it on your Instagram. Cause fans and, his family and everyone in Newfoundland, loves that kid. So, but yeah, I mean, they kind of just took this one over, and, Collard had two goals.
Yeah, this was a dominating effort, and I think they needed this one.
Yeah.
You know, this was I didn't watch much of the game. You know, I'll be honest. Had some other festivities to take care of.
You'll find out why shortly.
And but no, honestly, it was the mascot game, the birthday party for the Ramparts mascot.
Oh, is that what they were all there for? Oh, I thought they were all there for the teddy bear toss.
Yeah. And, the teddy bear toss was ruined by Miles Mueller.
Yeah.
Which
you said it was good that we finally did that to someone. Who did that to Moncton? In
Halifax.
Didn't Moncton score like 30 seconds or a minute after they threw all the teddy bears?
I remember you, Chris,
saying that or something like that.
I also remember that we actually shut out Halifax during their teddy bear toss game.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'm drawing a blank here, but something tells me that we did it to them prior to them doing it to us, or vice versa. So the revenge was there. But I think this is the first time that we've done it in against a team in a while. And it was
awesome.
I laughed. I had a good chuckle. Yeah. And I'm sure the players had a good chuckle about it too, after the game in the dressing room. But no, good for them. It was this was the effort that they needed, and this is a game that they should have won, and they did win.
Yeah.
So it's that's what you needed, and to start a road trip 2-2.
I was wondering if the goalies, knowing that they're going in the teddy bear toss, is like, they're not throwing teddy bears on me today. And it doesn't obviously happen that often, but yeah, good on. I wondered when, and man, I was just like, please, for the love of God, Marty, do not say the S word. Do not say the S word. Do not say. Well, he does. He says it. About when did Mueller score? 3 minutes left. I think he said it with about four and a half to 5 minutes left. He said something, and Warren's looking close to getting his first shutout. Oh, I said it. I shouldn't have said it. I was like, I swear, if this happens, but it didn't. Keegan Warren goes first, so PSA to everyone out there, when the goalie's getting near the end, do not say the S word, do not think of the S word, do not do anything with the S word. That is...
Yeah. As The Rock would say, know your role and shut your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Kids today, man, so desensitized by movies and television, they don't even know. Saturday, man, they got a point. For me, it's just one that kind of got away. A great effort from a tired team after 3-3. And I actually watched the Sea Dogs Rising Tide show.
Oh, yes.
Watched the first episode, and their coach was talking about, right before training camp, they're running up that big hill across from TD Station.
Yep.
And he's talking about how he gets his, getting them mentally and physically prepared for, you play a lot of 3-3s in the queue, but it's not actually 3-3. It's like 3 and 2.5 days, because you usually play that third one at 4 or 5 o'clock. And if they play on Sunday, maybe a different outcome. And I understand it. Quebec teams come in here and they play 3-3. So at some point, the Maritime teams have to go in and do that. But yeah, they got the point. A turnover in overtime led to a goal. There was another spot, I don't know if you watched much of the game, where Denway had a wide open net and he tried to go back to Mercier.
Yeah.
I'm not going to praise him, like, and I'm not comparing him to McDavid at all, but Connor had that early in his career. He always looked to make the assist.
Denway is better than McDavid.
Yeah, 100%. He always looked to make the assist. And Denway is always looking to make to get other guys in great spots, and he's great with the puck, and he sees the ice really well. But sometimes he sees it almost too well, and he's just trying to make that extra play. If he puts that one in, I'm not saying because he didn't score, we lost the game, but it's just one of those where you're like, ah, I think I yelled loudly to shoot. Like, it's just like, ah. Yeah.
For me, I think that overtime, I almost want to say it was a set play, but it didn't. It just did not work out.
No.
I don't know if Clark was looking to play it back to.
It was a face off and it went to the left and there was no one there. And he was, I don't even think he looked. I think he just grabbed it and went straight back to
Moran
and whoever was on the ice.
Lassert, yeah.
Lassert got it. He went right from two on the draw, and Collard went this way, and Lassert went this way to cut the pass off. Okay. And it was a 2-on-1. It was tough, but like if he doesn't pick that off, Moncton probably sets something up and Collard spins and he hits him on the blue line.
Yeah. But it's honestly, you know, 5 points out of six is you can't really complain about that.
Yeah.
They got their, you know, I said they should be getting 10 shots per period, but they get
10-10-7.
10-10-7. So they're almost there.
Yeah.
This team should easily be getting 30 shots on goal and per game, and it doesn't matter who they're playing against. Mm-hmm. That they have that capability. I do want to point out, though, the Quebec game, I think, could have been a lot more lopsided if it wasn't for their penalty killers. I've never seen a team...
Moncton's penalty killers?
No, Quebec's penalty killers. Yeah. A team as young as Quebec have zero fear to get in front of a shot. Like, they were blocking shots left and right and putting up for a team that's rebuilding, you know, yeah, you're going to lose a lot of games. But if you're going out there and you're blocking shots and you're putting your body, you know, you're putting your body on the line, you got to respect that. And I was like, every time Moncton got a shot, it just seemed like they were right there.
Yeah.
It was in the shin pads. It was off the leg, off the skate. Like, they were getting in the lanes and blocking the shots, and that's all you can ask for from a young team.
I feel like that stems from the coach. I feel like Simone Gagné was a pretty good penalty killer in Philadelphia, and, you know, bleeding hearts of the world unite. And
you want to play for me? You better be willing to pay the price.
Yeah, that's the message. But, yeah, the Schwenningen game, I mean, you talk about Moncton's – or Quebec's PK, Moncton – 0-for-5 penalty kill, 1-for-3 on the power play, but that game could have been maybe not go to overtime, but Moncton's PK was kind of on point. That ends the first half of the season on the road for the Wildcats, and by first half I mean up until the trade deadline. That's how I count first halves. This team's played 14 games both years back to back. They were 6-8 last year at home. Oh, that's going to go. Where are they? Oh, that jingle jangling is our elf hats. There it is. They were 10-5, 0-2 at home last year. They were 6-8 after 31 games. So after 14, they were 6-8 this year. After 14, they are 12-1-2. And that that OT loss to Schwenningen was the first loss that they had when scoring first. I don't want to say Mr. Kingston jinxed it, but he kept talking about it as soon as they scored their first goal. That's all he was talking about. He is using our MCL line, which we got from a friend of the show, Ken Shea, but he used it about 8 times, which is fine because Mueller talked about it. But he 12-1 on the road. Like I said, the power play 34% on the road to end this first half. I mean, the way this team is playing on the road, just come home, get to the bus, stay in the hotels for the final two games of the year.
Right.
It's good to see the team. You know, you're going to sit down, you're going to see an excellent road effort. And they've flipped the script from last year to this year, just on the road.
No, you're right. Those are improvements.
Yeah.
Right. And why do you think we're 2 points behind Halifax? our road record.
100%.
You know? Imagine if we were better on home ice.
Oh.
We would be ahead of Halifax.
We'd be nipping at the heels of,
you know, Bacon. Like that's, it's usually you're probably thinking, okay, it's the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, like they're, if we were two game or two wins better on home ice, we would be ahead of Halifax right now. Like that's, come on. Like, and that's why when I say 5.5 over,
mm-hmm.
I think we have to make moves to not only be better. Because we fell apart last year in the second half. Like, we, you know, like, let's be
yeah,
honest.
Let's, yeah. You know? Yeah.
You
lose 9 of 10.
I'm the one here that said we would win. I came on here at the beginning of this season. I said we would win the division.
Yeah, you did.
And we are, and for us to be 2 points behind Halifax, at this point, I'm still feeling extremely confident in what I said. I also said we'd win the league.
No, you said we'd get there.
I said, yeah, you're right. I said we'd get
us
there.
Us and Randa.
Yeah. So I'm still feeling confident about my choices or what I've said. I'm not backing down.
Nope.
I still think we can win this division. We are within striking distance. All it takes, you know what? Just be better in the second half than we were last year.
Yep.
You know, continue play at home like you did on the road.
That's that. How do you find that success? And that's a million-dollar question right now. You look at last year, the Wildcats at this point, and there was a couple games left before. So 37 games played. Halifax had 46 points. Moncton had 34. Mm-hmm. So it was a 9-point advantage going into the trade deadline.
That was last year?
Yeah.
Halifax was 9 points up?
9 points up. They had 46. No, they were 12 points up. Sorry. They were 12 points up on us at the at a division lead at the Christmas break.
So we're close, like
we're a 9-point improvement from last year, from 34 points to 43. It is the road record.
Mm-hmm.
Halifax is 11-2 at home, 10-6 on the road. That right there is the difference because last year Halifax was 11-3 and 10-4 on the road,
mm-hmm.
and we were 6-8 on the road. So that is the difference. Now the million-dollar question coming into the deadline, out of the break. Is how do you continue that road record into the home record? Because you are going to be tested on the road. You've got Blainville, Victoriaville, Rimouski. You got Baie-Comeau twice, once at home, once on the road. Drummondville on the road, Chicoutimi, that big ice. Like, you've got some tough road games where you're going to be tested on the road. The three trips, Blainville, Victoriaville, Rimouski.
But there's a break in those two games.
Yeah, there's a break. Right? And so same with the February one. Baie-Comeau, we get them right off the hop. Chicoutimi, and then Drummondville back to back.
That's a tough trip.
That is. You got the big ice, and then you're going to Drummondville. So as much and as good as we've played on the road, this team is going to be tested. And now this is the real part of the schedule because we're going to acquire, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Halifax is going to acquire. Mm-hmm. Rimouski is going to acquire. Mm-hmm. Drummondville, mm-hmm. Baie-Comeau. Chicoutimi? Doubt it. But you're going to get a lot of road games. I think we got three against Halifax on the road. So it sets up as I don't want to say the first half was easier than the second. They had some tough games in the first half, more of them at home. But we've got a more of a road schedule in the second half.
Yep. Did you notice we play against Baie-Comeau on Loesching's birthday, February 29th?
What? I didn't. Oh, man. That's cool.
So, Loesching's going to be turning 4 years old. four? Five. No, yeah, four.
What is he? He'll be 19?
No, he's turning 4 years old because it's February 29th. It only happens every 4 years, right?
Yeah, but what is his age right now? Don't say 3.5.
He's going to be 19.
He'll be 19, so yeah.
He's going to be
4, yeah.
Yeah, he's turning 4 years old.
Almost five.
Quite the peewee.
Yeah. He's, that's quite the exceptional talent there.
I'd like to know how many times in Wildcats history we've played on February 29th.
So for all those statistical nerds out there, find that out for us. It can't be that many times.
February 29th.
And at home, too. That's even better. I thought you were going to say on February 7th. I was like, that's the day after my birthday. I looked at that. I was like, I'd like to go on that road trip, but it's like a whole week.
I think there's only two players in the entire CHL born on February 29th.
Like, we're going to find out this year? Loshing and just have to go through all the teams and
see. I think
see
it's those. A WHL player.
All right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I can check.
You can check. You do that, sir. But, yeah, this week coming up, you've got Bathurst, you've got Cape Breton. You look at the schedule before the Christmas break for the Wildcats. I only went back to 2023, and I didn't take the 2020 season into consideration because we stopped on, like, November 17th and didn't play again till, I don't know, sometime in February or something stupid like that. But last 10 years, they are 7-2. They're 2-1 on the road. They're 5-1 at home. They do have the back-to-back. They do have the home game to end. This will be the first time they've played Cape Breton since 2015, where they played them 3 years in a row. But they are on a bit of a two-game losing skid. They lost last year to Bathurst in the Melanson game, where he had 4 goals.
Oh, yeah.
Out to the lead. They lost to Halifax 6-2. I believe I'm just going to assume LaRue took that one over as well. Just because that's what he did.
Dumay
too. Maybe not.
Oh, was LaRue at Team Canada camp?
No, I don't think. No, I don't think so.
No, he wasn't last year. No. Right? No.
And then they'd rattled off 7 straight. So just win. I know that everyone's excited, and these seem like they're always the toughest one. I'm looking through the schedule. I'm like, hey, we're 7-2. We got a winning record on the final game of the first half. But, you know, 2-0 against Bathurst, 2-0 against Cape Breton. So I think Cape Breton is on a back-to-back coming out of that one. But these will be tough games. Yeah, Cape Breton's got Charlottetown the night before. So yeah, both teams playing back-to-back.
Yeah.
Did you find that player?
Well, because stupid elite prospects, the advanced search option's not available at this time.
Oh man,
that's not fun.
Oh, I'm trying to. It's a WHL player. I don't know. I can't. No.
Can't think of it. We'll get back to you next week.
Pat McNeil will know it.
Oh, 100% he will. We'll get back to you next week on that. But yeah, Bathurst, Cape Breton, these are winnable games. But they're games
don't
that
say the
all,
Cape Breton game is winnable to Andrew Barrington.
That's true. All three of these teams are just kind of excited to get home. And this is the toughest schedule. One of the weirdest before we got on here. When I was doing my research for this, I was looking at the schedules. And one of the odder schedules that I told you about that you actually remember, and for all those Wildcat fans that have been Wildcat fans for a while, the 2011-2012 season. Just give me 1 minute here. I know this seems like we don't know what we're doing, but we do not all the time.
There are times where we are not so good.
There are times we think of things to talk about, and then there's times we just randomly are like, oh, hey, we're going to talk about this again. Is it 2012, 2013? They played on December 21st. Like, there it is. So December 11th, they won 5-3, Moncton over Bathurst. 4-3 loss in overtime on the 14th. 8-6 loss on the 15th to Halifax, a 6-1 victory on the 19th to the PEI Rocket, and then on December 21st, 4 days before Christmas, they were in Cape Breton, and then 7 days later, on the 28th, they were in PEI. Like, just 4 days before Christmas, that just, and I went to see if that was, like, the norm years before that. It wasn't. They got like 10-day breaks in between that, but I'm just like, that must have just been an odd schedule to be playing 4 days before Christmas and in Cape Breton.
That's weird. I don't remember that at all.
It's funny to go back and see the teams that were.
Simone Gagné was also born on February 29th.
Oh, that's nice. You just searching by birthdays?
Yeah. Advanced search is temporary disabled.
Oh,
frig
right.
Off.
Well, would you like to get to everyone's favorite part of the show unless you've got something to bring?
Frig off. Hey, elite prospects. Frig off.
Yeah. Are you ready for everyone's favorite part of the show?
Yeah.
All right. Eric Murray, realtor, buyer house from him. Stick dab of the week.
Well, whole Merry Christmas. I was down in Halifax over the weekend.
Yep.
And I went to the Glow. Glow event, Glow Gardens, Glow whatever.
Yep, I've heard of it.
Absolutely phenomenal. I will vouch for this for everybody who is debating on going down one of these weekends. I know we got a hockey weekend here, but next weekend, you know, the weekend before Christmas, if you happen to be down in Halifax, I would absolutely encourage you to go check this out, especially if you've got young kids. It is one of the coolest things. Imagine it as being the wild lights at the zoo.
Yeah.
But indoors and 100 times better.
100 times better.
So you get in there and they give you what they call a passport.
Right.
Because each area is a different country. So they they had like the Eiffel Tower in Christmas lights.
Ooh, nice.
They had the Taj Mahal in Christmas lights. And that thing in London.
London Bridge?
Nope.
Big Ben?
Nope.
The wheel?
Nope.
It's the only three things in London that I know of. Buckingham Palace?
Nope. The thing that's over the bridge.
The thing that's over the bridge?
It looks like this. It's a... crap, what's it called? Oh, my God. This thing.
Oh, the London Bridge.
Yeah. The bridge.
the London Bridge.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, London Bridge.
Is it the bridge?
Yeah.
Oh, anyways. The London Bridge. was there too.
Yeah, drove
under. It's like different countries. In every country that you go to, there's like a booth and you can stamp your passport to say that you went to that country.
That's cool.
And at the end,
do they have food there from each country?
Yeah, there's like a beer garden.
No, I mean from each country, like French food and all.
No, but there was a coffee guy there.
Yeah.
And he was like bagging out the Baileys and coffee, like left and right.
Yeah.
So I had like a couple of those. And then right around the corner was a bar. So I had a drink there and... so by the time I got home to out of that to watch the OT, you know, damn well I was cursing.
yeah.
But no, honestly, it's about, you know, $35 a ticket. I thought it was well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wild Lights, I think, is $20 and it's just not as good. It's, you're outside, you're cold, and it's the same walk as the Boo at the Zoo.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing different except there's Christmas lights in the trees and that's it. This thing is absolutely phenomenal. I've been wanting to go for 5 years and finally got a chance to go this year. Do not regret it. Absolutely loved it and definitely will be back.
The Stick Tap Week sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
And that brings us to the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week presented by Rosemary Lynn Massage and Spa. Right
I'm
now,
going there on Friday.
Right now they've got the December special, so listen up, Boucher. You can book... You can book a pedicure and get your manicure for $25. That is the December special. If you want to call and book, it is 506-830-1224. Don't forget they also have the loyalty card. When you book 9 spa services, you get one free. Like I said, I gave you the phone number, 830-1224, or book with them in person at 1224 Mountain Road. The MCL line has been on fire this first half. They have pretty much carried this team. Through a lot of injuries, through a lot of guys going to U-17s. I've had Collard. I've had Lounsbury. Now it is the M part of that line. Miles Mueller is off to Sweden for the World Juniors, and he has found quite a groove on that second power play unit. 4 goals, 3 games on the road trip, 2 of them on the power play. He's got a 5-point streak going right now. That's a player that's going to go to the World Juniors and could just come back even better, which is...
Well, that happened with Ty Bell last year.
Yeah, which is kind of scary for that second line.
Where did I read it? He has... How many goals does he have this season?
Miles?
It's 14.
14.
And prior to this season, he had a total of 17 goals.
Yeah.
So he is 3 goals away from literally tying his record from the past 2 seasons, which is in total.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And you know what? If people are still listening, what is your hot take of the trade period?
Oh, that'd be a good one. Put that on Twitter. Or Instagram. Put that one on Instagram.
Do you have a hot take for the trade period of what the Wildcats might do?
I don't.
No.
I mean, I don't think I can say, but
I have one that's way out in left field. If it happens, I'll literally...
Every time I do a hot take, you look at me like I'm an idiot.
So. No, this is... like you wouldn't even think of this one.
All right, let's hear it.
Remember when the Wildcats drafted Joe Connor in the American draft?
Yeah. I don't, but yeah.
So he just happens to be playing for Team USA this week at the World Junior A Challenge in Truro. Huh. Get him on the bus.
I would not have thought of that at all. Yeah.
Just get him on the bus.
No.
He's over a point per game right now in the USHL. Get him on the bus.
Doesn't he have an American friend he can bring next year too?
Who's that? Cornforth?
Eiserman.
I wish Eiserman was playing in this tournament. Instead, he's at the World Juniors with Team USA.
No, he's not.
What?
I didn't see him on the roster.
How is he not on Team USA's roster?
Honest to God, I did not see him. World Junior roster.
If Macklin Celebrini's with Team Canada, how is Cole Eiserman not with the USA? Are they that deep?
Who's the guy that always tweets about stuff for them?
The American guy?
Yeah. That's the World Junior.
Oh, crap. I can't think of his name.
But I looked and I'm... Because I... 2024, not 2023. Once again, folks, this is what happens when we think of things.
If you're still listening, we appreciate you.
Preliminary roster, U.S. National Junior Team. Unless I just looked over it, but
forward. Brindley, Finley, Goche, Hagen, Hayes, Howard, Leonard,
my God,
McGordy, Moore, Nazar, Nelson, Perot, Will Smith, Snuggard.
How was what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought you knew, or else I would have sent it to you. I was shocked. I didn't see his name. Because I thought for sure I was going to see it. Now, I don't know.
Which is good, because that means he's going to be on the team in Ottawa next year, and we can fly him to Moncton after the Ottawa World Juniors.
Perfect. And that means we can have him for that second half when we kick the door in Rimouski. And,
suck on that, Wisconsin. No, actually, he decommitted from Wisconsin.
Minnesota, isn't it?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah, because he decommitted.
Boston College.
And we started the rumors. But
BC or BU, wherever the hell he's going now. One of those Boston ones.
I'll put it on Instagram for hot take for the trade period, just to see what kind of stuff we get. But I've had a few people DM me and talk about, is this player available and this player and this player and this player. And I think the hot take for me is they don't go big fish hunting.
Okay.
I think they get a bottom 6 forward and a bottom, like a depth defenseman. Like I just don't think they go for the Verros or the Savoies or Reynolds or Horth. I just don't think they go get a big name like that.
I would be pissed if they did that.
That's what I mean. Like, I just don't think they go get one of those big name players.
I think you got to look at what's available out there in the
18
year old. You know, someone that's going to be here in the second half and next season.
Yeah, as a 19-year-old.
And that's why I kind of identified on Val d'Or, Alexander Guy.
Yeah.
You know,
a guy.
Is he big forward? I think he's a right left winger, but shoots right, which obviously allows him to be versatile. I don't play the left side or the right side. And he's 18.
Yeah.
You know, you got to look at those teams that, that competed last year that are maybe going to be selling off. You know, even a Blainville, a team like Blainville. I'm not going to go and get a Fauchon because Fauchon would be 20-year-old next year, and then he takes up a roster spot. But, you know, there's a team like Val-d'Or, a team like Sherbrooke, or a team like Quebec, or, you know.
Team like we just played in Shawinigan.
Yeah.
Like,
they just lost.
I asked you, Tournier, is that a player that you can acquire in the back end?
I don't know. It's just a matter of where. Where are you going to put him?
And that's.
You know,
you got to move a body out to bring in.
You've got Dubreuil, who's been he's 18, eating popcorn right? for 95% of the games yeah. here.
Poor dude got rolled last
day. Yeah, and it's just game. I don't know if they go get a player, a defenseman like him now.
Mm. That's more of a draft day.
Yeah.
But I think you gotta go. I don't think they touch the top six. I think the top six completely stays intact. So I don't think they move. I got asked a question about one of the players in the top six. Could they move him? Yes. And we talked about it after the show. Yes, they could move him. You're trying to get older, so moving him doesn't make you older. This is kind of the after show here.
That's okay.
Yeah. People love this stuff. And you know what? You're going to hear more of it next week, but we'll talk to you about that in a minute. But yes, they could do this, but I don't think they will, and they're going to leave the top six alone, I believe. You're going to look in the bottom six, and you're going to be at depth. I think it's two players that are coming in that are kind of glue guys, and this isn't a trade deadline thing, but for Miles at the World Juniors, I don't really necessarily worry about the locker room because he's only going to be gone for like a month. But I kind of worry about the locker room because if there's a glue guy and a guy we talked mm-hmm. about last year in Iasenza that seemed to be a glue guy because when they moved him, they kind of went on a tailspin. That Miles, the two times we've interviewed him, he just kind of seems like a guy that
is love to be around.
Love to be around in that locker room.
Yeah, no, for sure. But at the same time, you know, it's Switzerland, so he's probably going to be back in early January. They're probably back in...
Continued success, except against Canada.
This would be a great part of the show to play that Switzerland coach from the World Juniors like 10 years ago.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the song, yeah.
Pressure? What pressure? Yeah. How many first rounders? 10? Yeah. And we got the guy in the fourth round?
What do I tell my team? I tell them, go out and play. No pressure. We don't play, but... I think you're looking at depth. I don't think Richie is going to, I think he said in your interview I think with Marty, like if it makes sense,
yeah,
we'll look at it. And some of the deals are very tough to do. You really have to look at it, but I don't think we're going to see big name guys. I think it's going to be depth guys. And I think a lot of people are going to be, I don't want to say upset, but I don't think there's going to be any needle moving trades for the Wildcats.
I'm sticking with my over on the 5.5.
Yeah.
Because I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, 5.5 is a lot, eh?
Yeah, it really is. I think there'll be two deals, possibly three. Two will involve players, and one will involve some picks.
Okay. Well, I'll stick with it.
All right. Perfect. Well, that'll do it for this episode presented by Alpha's Appliance Solution.
Went into overtime a little bit.
Man, it's all good. Remember when we used to go into overtime? They got the Boxing Day sale from now till January 3rd, the Kitchen Savings Event. Save $150 before tax when you purchase two qualifying kitchen appliances, $300 when you purchase three or more qualifying kitchen appliances, and the Boxing Week Laundry Savings Event from now till January 3rd. Save $100 before taxes when purchasing any two eligible Whirlpool or Maytag laundry appliances. Speaking of trade period, before we get to that, the Wildcats will finish up the first half of the season Friday night against Bathurst, Saturday against Cape Breton. If you were looking to send your Wildcat fan to that, they got the took a picture there. They've got the flex packs, holiday family 4-pack, 2 adults, 2 youth. The flex pack and top prospects, 2 flex vouchers and 2 tickets to the Kubota Top Prospects game and a Christmas card. The Flex 2-packs for 2 Flex vouchers and a Wildcat Christmas card, and a Flex 6-pack, 6 Flex vouchers, Wildcat Christmas card, pennant, mug, and stocking. Phone 506-382-5555. Talk to Isaac for those if you want them.
I give the Wildcats permission to use my daughter's poem in their Christmas cards. I want financial compensation.
Our first half will finish up with some special shows. Next week, we've got the annual Maritime Division Trade Preview Show. We've got Corey Arsenault from the Islanders, Chris Terry from Q Review. We've got Pat McNeil from the Eagles. We got Jamie Tozer from the Station Nation. And we got Johnny Rocket from 18 Podcasts Up on the North Shore. That'll be next week. And then we've got the mega episode. It'll come out next week. There'll be an episode on the 27th, which will be part 2. And then we are back January 10th as we're going to take a nice long Christmas break. For Jeremy, I'm Adam. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.